because he lives. Isn't it a blessing to see all these young people here today? What a blessing. So good to have you today. Hi, Scott. Greetings. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. I love the Psalms. I say that a lot. They mean a lot to me. They're very comforting, very helpful. And we will read Psalm 90, and then we'll go over to Psalm 107, so you can get that in your other hand. Psalm 90 and Psalm 107. Psalm 90, verse 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfieth the hungry soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. We're satisfied with the mercy of God. And as we long for that, like the publican, be merciful to me, a sinner, God always gives mercy to those who long for it and ask for it. And that will be the message today, the mercy of God and being satisfied with that. But let's bow our heads and ask God's blessing. Father, we love you so much. We ask for your presence now, your help. We pray that you would use your word, speak to every heart. May we have come to church today hungry. You said if we were hungry, we would be filled. We long, Father, to feel your touch, to see your hand, to know that you've met with us. And I know every longing soul will receive something today. Bless your word now. We're so grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. When you come to the place where he's all you have, you'll find he's all you need. There's a story back in 1 Kings chapter 20, and the enemy, the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, he was going to attack Samaria. That is where the king of Israel was, Ahab. And so they came, and Ben-Hadad sent a messenger to the king of Israel and said, we want your wives, we want your children, we want all your silver and all your gold. King Ahab said, okay. You have to read the story. I'm telling you the truth. And he said, okay. And then the heathen king sent another message the next day. And he said, I'm going to send messengers, and they're going to go into all your dwellings and take everything that's valuable. And he said, no, we can't go that far. Well, I think they went far enough to start. But anyway, there was a battle. Prior to the battle, God sent a prophet to the king. And he said, the Lord's going to fight for you. He's going to show himself strong on your behalf. Sometimes God does things for everybody. Amen? He makes the rain to fall on the good and the evil. And he does it to show himself strong, that he's able to do anything. And so during this battle, they fought this battle in the hills. And the Syrians were defeated soundly. Israel got a great victory. And so they left. But the prophet told the king of Israel, they're going to be back. So you need to prepare. And lo and behold, they did come back. But they came back with this idea. They said, the gods of Israel are the gods of the hills. They're not the gods of the valleys. And we'll fight them in the valleys. We'll fight them down in the plain, and we'll be victorious. And so they did. They came back, and they were defeated again. And the principle, the truth of that chapter is that God is the God of the mountain, and he's the God of the valley. No matter what you go through, God will always be there because he shows himself strong. He's there to minister to us. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Fear not, for I am with thee. Isaiah chapter 44. We have the psalmist saying, my expectation is from him, is from God. And that was where he looked when he needed help. Sometimes we look for all kinds of things, right? But when we look to God, God is always there. Now, some people have a very high standard or expectation of being satisfied by something. I remember when I was in the hospital, how could I forget? But when I was in the hospital, I looked out the window. I was on a higher floor, and I saw people walking to their cars. They're just walking to their cars, and I thought to myself, oh, I wish I could be walking to my car right now. And how many times I've never thanked God that I was able to walk to my car. I mean, you go through all the simple things in life that you are denied at a certain time, and you say, man, if I could only do that, I would be so happy and so satisfied. But I do want to say that my wife and I have seen the hand of God, and we've seen his help through all of this, and it's been a blessing. We had a vacation, and I got a room for 4 days and 4 nights. All I had to do was pick up the phone, and I could order anything I wanted. People were checking on me all the time. Are you comfortable? Do you need another drink of water? It was a vacation like I've never had before. Amen? There's something good in everything. Amen? And God certainly was good to us. But if your expectation is so high, and you're only satisfied with certain things, that's why people don't like their jobs. Because it fulfills a need, but there's no perfect job out there or perfect boss out there. Our cars, they come out with new cars every year. Now they drive themselves. They're building cars now that fly. Yeah, that's what I want. I want one of those, you know. And sometimes we're not satisfied. Finances, okay, that's a gimme. Congress, okay, we'll pass on that one. Even in church. But remember what we just read. The Bible says that God will satisfy us with his mercy. We are talking about spiritual blessings, not physical blessings. Nothing wrong with physical blessings. But physical blessings never meet the spiritual need. Never mistake the circumstances for the peace of God, because your circumstances are going to change, but God promises his peace through all of that. Satisfied means having the desires fully gratified, made content. Contentment means a resting satisfaction of mind without disquiet. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. We learn that, don't we? And there's a verse, I think it's in Philippians, supposing that gain is godliness, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So there's a lot of truth about that. Gratification, that which affords pleasure, satisfaction, delight. There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And it is a carnal, it is a fleshly pleasure. God gives us pleasures forevermore at his right hand. And so we look at those things, and that's what we desire as Christians, spiritual satisfaction. Think with me today of all the blessings of God. You ever do that? You ever just think about the blessings of God in your life? And let me just give you a few of these. The spiritual blessings. The peace of God. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God. Be careful for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. What a blessing. What a treasure. Amen. That's something that God gives to us. How about the comfort of the Scriptures? I mean, just reading the Bible or quoting the Bible can put you to sleep at night. You're worrying about this and you're worrying about that. Try quoting Psalm 23 over and over. You'll probably get through it twice and you'll be sound asleep. It's amazing what God does. And then he comforts us by his truth. Rest. Rest in Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen? I mean, we might look okay out here, but what's going on here? That's what God wants to heal. That's what he wants to help. We have joy in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we lose that. Sometimes we lose it, and because of that, God says, restore, or David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And that's my wife's phone. Amen. But it's her birthday. It's her birthday, so it's okay. Amen. Probably just another admirer saying happy birthday. Amen. Happy birthday. Spiritual blessings. Amen. And I mean, they're just such a blessing. God said in Isaiah 55 and verse 2, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" So he says, "Hearken diligently unto me." Hearken diligently unto me. You can waste a lot of years trying to find rest and peace and comfort and contentment in all the things of the world. You can waste your whole life doing that. And God says, you know, we get saved, we read the scriptures, we hear a message, and he says, "Come unto me, hearken diligently unto me, draw nigh unto me, and I will bless your life." Amen? And then we don't have all of that rigmarole, you know? That's a great word, isn't it? Did I just make that up, or is that a real word? Okay, well, whatever it is. I mean, you can come to the Lord. I read a book when I was in high school. I think it was the only one I read, but it was called Kon-Tiki. And it was about people that wanted to prove that native people, or these people, went from this continent to this continent and settled in Polynesia or whatever. And they did it on rafts, so they crossed the ocean. And so they built a raft based on what they believed in the past that raft was built on, and they went out to sail. And they did prove their point. They made it, praise the Lord. But chapter 1, the first thing it says in the book, water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. They were on salt water. And you know, salt water, the more you drink, the thirstier you get, and eventually it takes your life. And we have all of these things in life. God has given us all things richly to enjoy, freely. He's given them. And that's a blessing. And so every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And we thank God for our car. We thank God for our job. We thank God for things. Amen? But they don't supply the spiritual blessing. I think it's Ephesians chapter 1, could be chapter 2. But the Bible says, "He has blessed us, God has blessed us, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Spiritual blessings. That is such a gift. Amen? It's just such a gift. If you know the peace of God or the love of God or the comfort of God, you have such a gift. When God opens your understanding and your eyes are enlightened and you see, that's what's a blessing in life. That's just great. There's a story in John chapter 4, and it's about Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And the disciples went into town to get food, but Jesus, he must needs go through Samaria for the purpose of meeting this woman. And she's at the well, and she's drawing water. And Jesus said, "If thou hadst known the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me a drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you a drink of living water. I know you're drawing water, but I can give living water." And she says, "Now how can you do that? You don't even have anything to draw with." And Jesus said, "The water that you drink, you'll thirst again. But the water that I give you, you will never thirst again." And then he said this verse. This is John 4:14. "Whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Wow. To hear that and to even comprehend it a little, this is what she said. "Sir, give me this water." There's your longing, right? That's Psalm 107. There's your longing. He satisfieth the longing. So that's all you need. It's all you need today. God, I need the peace of God. I need comfort. I need mercy. I need salvation. I need help. That's all you need. And so she said, "Sir, give me this water." And he went on a little bit further and explained a little bit more. Sometimes the door just cracks when you want something. God just cracks it open. And if you go through that door, there's another door. Amen? And there's another truth, and there's another blessing. And finally, we know, she goes back into town. She says, "Come see a man, told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? I've met the Messiah." And the whole city came out. What a blessing that she understood that there was a difference between the water of this world and the water of the next world. Amen. God's blessings are just so precious. Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, went through Galatia and was in churches there. But there was one church that he wrote back to, and he said, having begun in the Spirit, okay, everything's fine, you have accepted Christ, you believe the truth of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading you. He said, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the works of the flesh? What a question. And he said something else there. He said, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? After you knew this, after you've experienced this, after God was so precious and his truth so powerful and your lives, all your lives changed, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Isn't that amazing that they would do that? Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus is coming by. Blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Remember the verse? Mark chapter 10, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and he said to blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? Okay, let me see. What do I want? I'm blind. I'm begging because I'm blind. I'm an outcast because I'm blind. I can't see what other people see. I don't enjoy the panorama. Let's see. What do I want? Are you with me? Can anybody guess what he wanted? Just a guess. What? Sight. Amen. When you ask for that, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And he touched him and he got his sight back. Amen. Think of that miracle. Paul, in praying for a certain church, said, oh, that God would enlighten you. Oh, that God would open your eyes. The prophet in the Old Testament said to his servant, oh, that God would open your eyes that you could see that there's more for us than against us. Oh, that God would open our eyes. Well, I think this is kind of dull in the Bible. I don't read the Bible much. And I'm not being condemning. I'm not being critical at all. But there is such a blessing there. If God just opened your eyes to it, his peace and all of the things that he has to offer, not just this world. Philippians 3:13, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now in the context, these are the, and he calls them the enemies of the cross. The context of Galatians chapter 5 is the flesh against the spirit. And we all have that. If we're saved, we have the Spirit of God that dwells in us, but we still have the flesh. And there's a battle going on all the time. And so there's a verse that says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Proverbs 27:20, the eyes of man are never satisfied. They're just never satisfied. That's the truth. We enjoy things, but we're never satisfied. We could talk about anything you want to talk about, but there's something in there that never satisfies. The fruit of the Spirit is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. We are told in Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit. And don't raise your hand or hit your husband or, you know, whatever you do, but are you filled with the Spirit? What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Anybody? Love. Okay, love. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Amen. And that love is manifest. So the first fruit of the fruits of the Spirit, there are nine of them, is love. What's the next one? Joy. Man, I've got joy today. I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. How are you doing? Joy. Well, things aren't really going so well. Yeah, this is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah said. Amen? This isn't because everything's going well. These are spiritual blessings. Love. Love your enemies. Love those that despise you and hate you. All that. Love your neighbor as yourself. So this is love, joy. What's the next one? Peace. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. It won't change your circumstances, but it will give you peace in the midst of the storm. Isn't that priceless? I mean, that you can't buy that with money. Why do you spend money for something that only God can give you? Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. We're going to go to some other verses in a minute, but long-suffering. And I think I'm going to do okay on time. Amen? Full time. But anyway, long-suffering. We suffer long. Amen? No, you just do one thing, buddy, and that's it for you. Long-suffering. Aren't you glad God was long-suffering for you? He was long-suffering in the days of Noah. He's long-suffering now. He's a good God. Long-suffering. Next one. It doesn't matter. We'll get them all in there. It doesn't even matter the order. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Gentleness. Okay, you got your Bible open? Yeah, you can read it in the Bible. Gentleness. I think it was David. I think this is in the Psalms, but the psalmist said to God, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Man, gentleness. There used to be a term, I don't know if they use it anymore, but he's a real gentleman. He's a real gentleman. I don't hear it much anymore, but it's a good term. It's a good description. Gentleness. Next one. What is it? Goodness. Goodness. That comes from the heart. Amen. We can act some way, but goodness is really in the heart. Goodness. Meekness. Okay. There wasn't a meeker man than Moses. A meek and quiet spirit is of great price in the eyes of God. Meekness. Temperance. Self-control. Is that it? Faith is, I don't know. Whatever's in there. But I mean, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, because that's a love chapter. Somebody go there. Well, I'll go there too. 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, so we are filled with the Spirit, and we have this love. Let's just drop down, if you want. Charity, verse 4, is charity suffereth long and is kind. You find the same things. Charity is love in action. So being filled with the Spirit is going to produce these things. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. The whole chapter is good. Those are things that God does for us. Amen. And when God does that for two people, man, there's a real fellowship. Because our fellowship is with Jesus and with the Father. Amen. Because we're saved and we enjoy His love and His kindness and we give Him love back and we have joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, as I mentioned before. And when you meet another believer who has that, boy, the fellowship is just wonderful. Just wonderful. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. But this is the way. Walk ye in it. O satisfy us. If you stop there in Psalm 90, O satisfy us. It depends on your outlook. Depends on your motive, right? Depends on your perception of what's going to satisfy us. When we pray to God, oh God, you know I need blah, 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 blah. We give all these things. But how about saying, God, I need your peace today. I really want to enjoy your mercy and your love. And I want that love to just be so filling that it's just so full of that Spirit that as I'm blessed, I might be a blessing to others. Now, there's times there are physical things we need to pray for, and there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, satisfy us. Most would be speaking about this life. 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. It has to be something eternal, something spiritual. There's a fellow by the name of Charles Murray. He wrote this back in 1864. It's just a real small caption, but I want you to pay attention to this. Man is the offspring of God, the bearer of his image. Remember Genesis? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Man is the offspring of God. He's the bearer of God's image. He possesses wondrous capacities of thought, of feeling, and action, and yet he's unsatisfied, discontented, and sometimes miserable. But he's created in the image of God, and he has all of these wonderful things. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we cast down imaginations and the thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We bring those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and it changes. It changes our heart, and so it changes our life. And we could talk about that for a while. But he goes on, he says, this is a most strange thing. And it is not only a testimony to the ruin of his nature, but also to the insufficiency of everything earthly to meet his cravings. To meet his cravings. You know, and some of this isn't bad, but this world is never going to satisfy like the Lord. Amen? Christmas is coming. Nothing wrong with new toys for the kids. Amen? Where happened to the old toys? I remember getting toys for kids, and they played with the box rather than the toy, you know. But how come we have to have all these toys? We have a dog, and it's the best dog in the world. You can argue that. You've been wrong before. But we have the best dog in the world. And, okay, we have a lot of dog toys. Man, do we have, and we're always, you know, you're at the pet store. I'll bet Jesse'd like this, and I'll bet he'd like, look, you know, he plays catch with the ball. We have, I counted them last night because I wanted to use them as an illustration. We have 1,429 that you just can't even walk in the house, you know. So which ball do you want to throw that he gets, you know? I'm kidding about that, but I mean, okay, let's try the new restaurant. Let's get some new clothes. And nothing wrong with that, amen? But this restaurant, the waitress was a little slow last week. I don't want to get the same restaurant. I'm just not satisfied. Maybe she's the waitress you ought to give the extra tip to. She might be having a hard time, you know? Well, she was a little gruff with me. Well, maybe you're easy to be gruff with, you know? But I don't know, but it's always something new. It's always something new. So he brings that out. Now, if you finish the verse or put something else in there that's supposed to be in there, oh, satisfy us, take the world out of it, with thy mercy. It changes the whole dynamic. Oh, satisfy us with thy mercy. Ah, that's the goal. That's the object. That's where I need to keep my mind and my thoughts, if I can just do that. Psalm 23, my cup runneth over, right? That's a good thought. My cup runneth over. Next verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. That'll make your cup run over. Amen. That'll completely take the focus off of this and put it right on this. Eternity. God's goodness. What a blessing that is going to be. And that leads us into something, because that's what he created us for. So one day we as Christians could spend eternity with him. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. When, David? When will you be satisfied? When I awake with thy likeness. What is that? That's heaven. That's seeing our Lord face to face. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. The Bible says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. I mean, you know, man's days are few and full of trouble. In the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Okay, what does that mean? One day I'm going to be with the Lord. One day I'm going to be with the Lord. You have, take your Bible, And we'll start the message now. That was the introduction. I'm kidding. You young people are so good. You're just so good. 1 John chapter 3, just a few verses. But we need to see this because this is it. This is everything here. 1 John chapter 3. I know you've read this before. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We shall be like him. The psalm said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. In heaven, everybody that's in heaven is going to be like him. We just read it in two different places, right? So we're going to be like him in heaven. That's a blessing. Amen? Everybody there. You know, that's Christ's likeness in heaven. God wants us to be like Christ here on earth. If you've ever met, and they're all over the place, if you've ever met somebody who's Christ-like, all the things we've just talked about, you won't forget that meeting. Amen? It's a blessing. Now, we're all striving for that. We have good days and bad days. Don't judge me on a bad day. Amen? Because I might not be like Christ on the bad day. But that's what God wants for us. So love begets love. And peace brings peace. Amen? And we just have that bond, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God does that for a church. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right now. Amen? He had the Spirit without measure. And so we're told to be filled with the Spirit. These are all good things. Jesus said this, and I think this is the crux of the message. He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will. What was the will of God for Jesus? The cross. The cross. And so he went to the cross. He said, for this cause came I into the world. I delight. Boy, what a word. I delight to do thy will, O God. Peter tells us that it may be the will of God to suffer. We suffer for the will of God. And we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. Paul, the apostle, wanted to be like Christ. He prayed about something, and God said, no, I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure. Jesus delighted in the will of God. Paul said, I take pleasure. Listen to the list. In infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I delight, like my Lord delighted, in the will of God for my life. Amen? It's not comparing ourselves among ourselves. The rest of that verse says, we are not wise. I got more than you. I know more than you. I experience better than you. Boy, look at you. You're not as good. That has nothing to do with anything. The will of God is everything. Amen? And when that will of God comes and we stop trying to find all of our satisfaction in this world and we say, I just want the will of God, that's where the peace of God comes from. And the love of God and the comfort of God. Amen? And God blesses our lives. Take your songbook. We're not going to sing. But take your songbook and turn to page 383. 383. We're not going to sing this. I just want you to see some of this. 383. There's a story back in the book of Genesis, and it's about Noah and the flood. And the flood is is over. The waters are going to be going away. I guess the flood is still there. But Noah sends out a raven to see if there's any land there, you know, or whatever. And he sends out this raven from the ark, and the raven never comes back. It doesn't come back. And so he sent out a dove, a raven being a type of the flesh, dove being a type of the spirit. And the dove came back. And the reason for that is the dove wouldn't land on anything corrupt, probably floating, whatever. And that dove came back to the ark. Sent it out again. It came with the twig, remember, and that's how they knew. But if we just come to the ark, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your souls. Do you remember the day? 383. All my life long. By the way, there a fellow that was in our church in Sturgis, he came and visited here, he and his wife. He grew up in church. All his life he was in church until he met the Lord. That's when his life changed. And this, when we sang this song, he came unglued. He would just shout. He would praise the Lord because his life was so changed. All my life long, I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Verse 2. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. This has nothing to do with affluence, has nothing to do with intelligence. This has to do with God meeting a spiritual need. Verse 3. Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Chorus. Hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Verse 4 has a whole different meaning now. Well of water, ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. What a change. The whole dynamic changes. Amen? It's satisfy me. None of it would. I'll satisfy you with my mercy. Boy, how that changed his life. That's a great song, amen? It's a great song. Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, if you receive him as your Savior, if you ask him to save you, you not only are promised eternity in heaven with God, but you have all of these gifts. God wants to give you peace and comfort and joy and strength and wisdom. All of these things God wants to do. And for every believer, they are available if you just receive the Lord. And in this life, amen, they are a blessing. But think of eternity. Think of eternity. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, or maybe you said a prayer, but it was just a prayer, but you really want your sins forgiven. You really want, remember, the longing soul shall be satisfied. You really want a home in heaven. You really want that today. Say this prayer silently in your heart. God will hear. This is the real thing. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for coming into this world and dying on a cross for my sins. I accept you as my Savior. I ask you to give me a home in heaven when I die. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you said that prayer, would you slip your hand up? Nobody's going to come to you or call your name. you said that prayer, God bless you. Anybody else? Our Father. Maybe there were others that said it, and that's fine if they didn't want to raise their hand. I just pray. The world sparkles. The world has so much it wants to give. All these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me, the devil said. But God, you give something that is priceless. You give the unspeakable gift of Christ. And I pray that if someone did not receive you today, that you would give them an opportunity, that they might even do it on their way home for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.